You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Like, for me, okay, so all-time entrance, I think Stone Cold's number one for me. And then after that, I'm not, like, what are the best opens in WWE?
Hurricane?
Who?
Better watch out. There's a hurricane coming through.
Check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
I'm going to go so angry Jim Rome on you, Brian. It's going to be ridiculous.
Jordan made some good points, and that was cute.
Who, me?
Well, you're real handsome. Your eyes look real nice today in that jersey, Brian. Tell you that right now.
And bring you some more devastation and more knowledge and more fun facts about
Did you just promise
tonight
that we're going to go devastate all of our listeners?
Salutations, Packer Nation. Welcome back to another edition of Pack to the Future podcast. As always, your host, John Jameson, coming off a fresh Packers loss, ready to talk about it. So amazing. We are out of the playoffs officially. This is amazing. I love it. I love it. I can't get it enough. And to break it down even more, we got the panel. Brian, Dusty, Jordan, we're all here. Everyone is as excited as I am. We're going to have a great episode. It's going to be so fantastic. It is Vikings week, and we're going to break it down all for you on tonight's episode of Pack to the Future. Brian Fonfara, good evening.
Yo. John, I loved that intro, man. Like, we went through your entire grieving process of the Packers missing the playoffs. Use the word salutations to kick it all off. Made me think of Charlotte's Web, man. That was beautiful. I loved it.
I need you guys tonight. And I figured if I set the tone off right off the bat of just us being optimistic and just happy, then we're going to have a great podcast.
We're going to have a great podcast.
It'd be so easy for us to be just down in the dumps and being like, man, I thought we were going to go to the Super Bowl this year and win it like I thought all year. But no, you know what? This is why we rise up. We are Packer Nation. Duh. So, but yeah, you are having a great week?
Yeah, I am having a great week, man. My grieving process for this started months ago when Rodgers went out. I dealt with the fact then that it was a real possibility we missed the playoffs. So when it actually happened, it wasn't so much of this shock to me. So, you know what? This week, I've been crushing it at work. Like, the weather is finally getting cold here in Denver. I'm doing all right.
I want to take things way back for today's trivia.
Oh, boy. Way back to, like, 2002.
To possibly being the Packers' best season of all time in the year 1919.
Oh, yeah. Cool. That's the year I was born, so let's do this.
Packers probably had their best season of all time. They went 10-1. And in those 10 games, they outscored their opponents 565-6. Their one loss came to what team, Brian?
Oh, my goodness. Trying to think who the originals were. Like, there was the Browns. There was – weren't the Cardinals an original, but in a different city? Jeez. That's a tough one. I'm just gonna throw a random guess out there, and oh my goodness, this is tough. I'm just gonna say the Bears, because that's the only team that I can say for certain would have been there off the top of my head.
Brian, your answer has been noted.
Thank you.
Dusty.
Hey, what's up, man?
Dusty Easy. That's my
hey.
It's my Chris Berman voice, by the way, if you didn't catch that.
I didn't.
What?
Yeah. Dusty.
I thought you were being the Powers Booth character from Deadwood, if I'm being honest with you, which I like better, so that's fine. That's fine, John.
How you doing?
Back, whoop! Back.
Dusty, how goes it?
Doing good, man. Yeah, like Brian said, I kind of didn't expect us to make the playoffs once Rodgers went out and we saw what Hundley was kind of doing in the early going. So it stinks, man. You know, it kind of stinks not having the Packers in the playoffs and knowing we still got two games left. But, you know, it gives a chance to kind of watch the game a different way. And honestly, you know, it gives a chance to stress-free watch the playoffs and you know, pick a different team and follow them and just, you know, cheer for them, kind of see what they do. My current method is watching another team that I kind of like and then seeing what the Packers can steal for them as far as elements of the game. So I'm kind of all in on the Rams for the playoffs here.
Oh, yes.
Same. Yes.
But it is like it's weird. It's weird going into this stress-free knowing you can't there's no way to win or lose. There's something kind of freeing about it. And it stinks, and you know, I want the Packers back next year even if they lose in a heartbreaker, but yeah, I kind of wrote this season off a while ago. So the fact it took till week 15 to actually knock us out for good, I'm doing all right, man. Christmas around the corner, you know. Christmas. Yeah, life's good at the moment.
How did you remind me of Christmas just now? That is incredible that Christmas had slipped my mind for just even a millisecond.
Oh, man.
So, Dusty, what team in 1919 – was responsible for the only loss in that Packers season?
Man, so 1921 was like the first year they're kind of incorporated, which means 19 was, I think that kind of goes maybe even pre-original. Like, because they're just playing in
dirt,
like
fields.
Essentially, yeah, like people's backyards and stuff. Like, it was like, I remember reading about the early days of the Packers, and it was like they're playing in like almost playgrounds, kind of like they didn't even really have stands. Like, people, like, it was kind of awesome and kind of terrible. So, what'd Brian go? Chicago Bears?
Shaitan, yep.
Yeah, I'm gonna go. I honestly have no idea of the team names. So I'm gonna go. I'm gonna make something up. I'm going Appleton Curds. I'm going with they lost to the Appleton Curds. How's that, John?
That is the greatest answer ever. I love it so much. Yeah, that is phenomenal. Answer has been noted.
Thank you, John.
Jordan Peck. Come with it. What do you got for me right now?
Not a whole lot, John. Like, are you talking about the trivia question or just in life in general?
Your life first. Start off with your life.
Well, I got one more half day of school left until a Christmas break, so that's a good thing.
How long is that?
It's a half day, so.
No, you're great. So,
exactly what that term means.
Jordan gets a half day for Christmas break, and that's it.
Oh, how long is the Christmas break? Oh.
My gosh. This is why you need to show up to the podcast more so we can be on the same page a little bit better, Jordan.
I understand, John.
Oh gosh.
I will miss that next production meeting. I get 2 weeks off, by the way, for Christmas. So I'm excited about that. New Year's included. So that'll be fun. So yeah. Life is pretty good.
Life is awesome if you make it. Yours life is awesome.
Mine's lives are, yes.
Please give us the right answer to this trivia question.
Okay. I know for a fact that Brian is wrong because the Bears weren't a team until 1920.
I was going to say, like, I feel like it was the Chicago Cardinals back then.
I think that's right as well. But I actually, that was the first year the Packers were a thing. So it probably was somebody close. So I like the Appleton guess. I don't know. I'll say Racine. Some team in Racine.
Give us a name.
The Racine. Ooh. Huh.
Come on.
The Racine Klaus. The Racine Klaus Towlers.
All right, guys.
That was Prohibition, right? So NA beer was a thing back then.
Good.
Week one. They beat.
It wasn't Prohibition yet.
Week one, they beat North End AC 53-0. Week two, the Marinette Northerners.
You're going to go through the entire schedule right now? 0.
New London, 54-0. Sheboygan Company C, 87-0. Racine Iroquois, 76-6.
Oh, it was a close one.
Oh, the Iroquois, yeah, the Iroquois put up 6. That's awesome.
Ishpeming, 33-0. Oshkosh Professionals, 85-0. Milwaukee Maple Leaf AC, 53-0. Chicago Chiller, 46-0.
Like Brandon Chiller? Like, was like Brandon, yes, Chiller's great grandfather?
Yeah.
Stambo Miners, 17-0. And the team that beat the Packers in 1919. Drum roll, please. The Beloit Fairies.
Awesome.
Solid.
Awesome.
The Beloit Fairies beat the Packers 0-6. In Beloit, Wisconsin. Oh, once I saw that, I had to do that one. I'll keep it more modern for future references, but at the same time,
20 years later.
I had to just say the Beloit Fairies on this episode, and that's all I wanted to do. But, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our patented coin toss segment. I am excited to be the judge this week. You guys are in for some expertise judgments that are going to be handed down your way. And first things first, we're going to start with Brian and Jordan.
Yeah.
Guys, the question I pose to you, was it the right move to shut down Aaron Rodgers? Brian, when I flip this coin, if it is heads, it was the right move. If it is tails, it is not the right move. Coin is going to be in the air. It is heads. It was the right move to shut down Aaron Rodgers.
It absolutely was the right move. There's just no reason to risk him at this point. He wasn't 100% healthy going into that game, and we risked it. We stretched it because we were still in the playoff race. Not being in the playoff race, a guy being injured, you don't force him to play. Not when he's your franchise. You know, if he's a bubble roster guy and he has two games to prove that he deserves a spot next year, fine. But this is Aaron Rodgers. This is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. You don't risk him unnecessarily. And that really is as simple as it is. And I would say it extends not only to Aaron Rodgers, but guys like Devontae Adams as well. If he plays another game this season, I'm wondering what the hell team doctors are doing and thinking maybe Martellus Bennett wasn't so bad after all, huh? Ooh.
Hot take.
Oh, that is...
No, but seriously, it was the right move. You shut him down.
Jordan?
This is the worst decision ever made by the Packers to shut down Aaron Rodgers.
Dang it, Jordan wins.
Talk to me.
Oh. Okay. I will say this about the next couple of games. The fact it would have been fun to watch Aaron Rodgers, because you know the dude's got a huge chip on his shoulder. It would have been fun to see what he would have done to a Minnesota Vikings team at Lambeau on a holiday weekend. Just with the knowledge of knowing that this team is the reason why he was knocked out early on in the season. It would have been a sight to see. I know the game doesn't mean anything for our playoff implications, but it sure does for the Vikings. We could play spoiler to the Vikings or the Lions. It would have been fun to see Rodgers go off, because especially after this game against Carolina, you know he'd be coming out with a little more fire this next week. So that would be the biggest reason I could see for him staying in. Also, too, home game, Packers Vikings. I'm imagining most people with those tickets did not imagine that. Even with the collarbone injury, that he'd be sitting out. I mean, there's always the chance, but you know, it's kind of a bummer now to hear this week. Like, he had tickets to that game, and now you're not going to see Aaron Rodgers play, even though he probably is healthy enough to go out there and play. Bummer too for the fans for a big game, big rivalry game. So that's kind of a bummer. But so that's why I think Rodgers probably should have stuck it out, at least just for this week. Or I shouldn't say stuck it out. He should have had him play for this next week.
I really did not know how you were going to spin that to make me go your way, Jordan. But you did. And I didn't even think about like what this game could potentially mean to Aaron. I know that there's nothing on the line, but the fact that he probably just wanted to go out there and just absolutely torch the Vikings. And I guarantee you he would have 100% guaranteed that, but that is not the reality. But you did win the coin toss by bringing up that argument, Jordan, which was very, very good of you.
Thank you,
John.
So
well done. Well done. Thank you. And you're going to stick around.
Clearly, the days of merit-based coin toss winners are over.
Done. thrown out the window.
I'm Team Jordan on that argument. I am Team Jordan on that argument. Jordan, I don't know if you actually meant it, but I am Team Jordan.
Not particularly.
Ooh, so Brian has a
skew. You're just always team anti-me, Dusty. That's all it is.
No, it's not true. Like I think he's mad. I think he's disappointed with the way he played. That was in Carolina. You get to go back to Lambeau against the division rival that knocked you out. Like I would even understand week 17. I'd like to see him out there for week 16 and just torching.
It'd be fun. Jordan. I wouldn't hate it. I think the risk far outweighs the reward, but it would have been fun.
Yeah.
Jordan, I need you to stick around because you did such a great job and participate against Dusty in this next coin toss. The question I have for you guys is we're sort of looking ahead to next year. Just a tiny skosh a little bit into next year. And the question I have for you guys is with our first round pick in next year's draft, should we go offensive side of the ball or defensive side of the ball? So, Dusty, I'm going to flip the coin, and if it is heads, we are going offensive side. If it is tails, we are going defensive side. Coin is in the air. And it is tails. Dusty, we are going defense.
Yeah, I mean, we're going – I say we got to go defense. And I say that as someone who has kind of hated how much they've spent on the defensive side of the ball lately, while the defense still has those capers holes in it and there's still issues with it, while the offense has kind of been making do with the same pieces and some mid-round picks in there you hope kind of pan out. But I mean, as Thompson showed this year with Williams and Jones back to back, I guess you flip those picks. He can make do with some of those mid-round guys, and that's two running backs I hope for a very long time. I think this year, as much as I'd like to see them go offense, this year's a little different, and this is with me doing zero research into what prospects are on the table. I think this is a season. You got the offense, Rodgers coming back, you know, obviously kind of upset with how this year has gone. They've got some pieces there. They're going to be a little more healthy, hopefully, you know, well, they will be at the beginning of the season anyway. The defense, I really like what I saw out of Kevin King, and they had to shut him down a little bit, you know, just with injuries or whatever. But I think they're a pass rusher away from being really, really good, or from being really good without Capers in the mix, I guess. Like, you've got that secondary. I really like the secondary. You know, haha, Clinton Dix. It's been baffling what's happened to him this year, but he's still got skill. I still think that player is in there. Burnett's been great when he's been healthy. You've got Clark and Daniels are monsters in the middle. But with that secondary, with some of the pieces you have out there, you know, Randall's been great this year as well, or at least for the second half of the season. It's hard to hold. Like, you saw there was times when they got pressure and there was times when Newton, and every quarterback just has time to sit back there. It's tough even as a good cornerback, as a good secondary, to hold when you're constantly guarding for 5 seconds. I think this is a team, you get a good pass rusher in there, you finally jump in there. You're getting, like, you know, 15, maybe somewhere in the middle of the first-round pick. You spend that on a pass rusher, just one pass rusher, and suddenly this defense, like, that's the piece. I think that's all you need. You need an edge guy, and this defense is the piece that kind of unlocks what this defense is capable of. And you grab a couple mid-round guys on offense. But I do think the offense is going to be good. The defense needs to be better, and I think they're one piece away from doing that, and that's an edge, and that's something they've not done. So I'd love to see them go edge in the first round, beef up that pass rush. Suddenly that defense is better. Offense is better. I do think that's the way to go.
Jordan, the offensive side.
What I really think would help this team out a lot, and particularly now with the new concern of Davante Adams' health, three concussions in the past 2 years, that's definitely now a unfortunate concern now for this front office and for this team,
with the hits that he's taken, I mean, it is unfortunate. It's not like you can say this guy is injury prone, but you can't argue with three concussions in 2 years. It's unfortunate just because the guy has been playing out of his mind this year. I mean, it's just over a year ago we were talking about should Devonta Adams have a roster spot on this team. It's crazy to think about now. But not only him, Randall Cobb had a resurgence this past Sunday. I know, Dusty, you love Randall Cobb. Even this week, I saw some Twitter action that you had about Cobb, which I loved. But also looking at Jordy Nelson too, it's clear that Jordy is on the decline. I mean, he'll be another year older next year. I think there's still stuff in the tank, but he's really probably not going to be worth the money we'll be paying him next year. I think this team could really use another wideout. If there's a stud wideout, particularly someone with some speed, available mid first round, I think that'd be the direction the Packers do need to go. Either that, or even a speedy tight end, because their tight end production this year has been horrible. Well documented how poor the tight end production has been this year. So I think having a wideout or a tight end added to this arsenal for the Packers would certainly be a welcome sight to Roger, a healthy Rodgers going into next season. And also just too, until something changes, unless there are off-season changes, taking defense in the first round has been fine. We've added a couple pieces, but it hasn't really worked out so well. So if they're able to make a splash and really add an impact player on the offensive side of the ball, I'd be more than happy to see that.
Man, you guys both nailed that better than I could have ever imagined. I mean, you hit on both sides of the ball. You nailed the exact positions that we need. And just based on how I'm feeling, I got to give it to Mr. On Fire right now, Jordan. You argued that unbelievably. I could – this team with the top – if we're lucky enough to have just the opportunity to draft a top wideout from this college class, and he's a speedy guy, man, this offense could be – extremely dangerous. I'm not sold on this pass rush whatsoever, Dusty, but at the same time, there are some players that can still step up and provide some level of a pass rush. But yeah, I think offense would be a wide receiver, a tight end, and the first round would just be outstanding. So well done, Jordan.
Thank you, John.
Imagine, I know he got injured this past, he hasn't done much this season. Can you imagine OJ Howard in this offense? Good gracious.
Golly. Okay.
I mean, there were Packer fans that were all about drafting him first round when we were watching him in the national championship for Alabama.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
me included.
I think he got drafted. I don't remember when he got drafted, but I don't know if he was top 10. He was close when
he went to Tampa. He was gone. I think David Njoku was picked after our pick, or after the pick we traded down. So that was another option that we could have, if we had stood where we were in the first round, we could have him.
That's true.
Brian, you ready to get involved in the coin toss again?
I am so ready for Jordan's favoritism to be over and for you to call an even matchup with me and Dusty.
Well, that is who is facing off against each other. And Brian, I'm gonna keep your voice right here on the microphone. And you're gonna start this banger off. With a healthy Rodgers, does this team win the division this year? If I flip the coin and it is heads, the Packers do not win the division, and probably the Vikings still win the division. Or tails, Rodgers is healthy and the Packers do win the division this year. Coin is in the air. And it is tails. The Packers do win the division with a healthy Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. So the Packers will make the play, or would have made the playoffs. Yes. I mean, with Aaron Rodgers, you go back and look at some of those games. Obviously, we still would have won the games that we won with Brett Hundley at the helm. So, you know, there's those three. Then you look at some of those that we lost. That Vikings game, we very well may have come away with a win in that one. And they'd be a game worse off, and we'd be a game better off just from that. That Steelers game finishes differently. There's no way the freaking Ravens keep us scoreless at home. So that, like, all of these games could legitimately have been wins, and we could be talking about a one, maybe two loss team here instead of where we are now being at 7-7. So, I mean, at the very least, I would say that this upcoming game against the Vikings would be an NFC North Division championship. But honestly, I think we'd be talking about a team that's ahead right now. And even with a loss against the Vikings this Sunday, we'd still be in the picture for a division title. There's just, I know there's a lot of weaknesses on this team that have been exposed without Aaron Rodgers, but that's the thing. They were exposed without Aaron Rodgers. If we have him healthy for all 16 games this year and we have him there to hide all of those weaknesses one more year, you know, with those weaknesses, maybe we're not a Super Bowl team, but we're definitely a division champion.
Dusty.
Nah.
Nah.
Okay.
I mean, listen, man, I want to say yes, but I can't because the coin told me not to. But, I mean, the Vikings are really good this year. And, I mean, I know this has been talked about before. I don't know how many we've talked about it here. For all of the problems that we've had with Hundley, like, the Vikings are playing Case Keenum and are doing quite well with him. So, like, that's fairly impressive. You want to fall back on the, you know, backup quarterback thing or whatever. But the Vikings are killing with Keenum this year. I mean, that defense is better, so that's part of it. But Keenum's playing really well. But, I mean, I was looking back over those games, like you said, Brian, and that Vikings game, yeah, Rodgers was hurt so early, it's hard to know where to go. Vikings won that by 13 at their house. So, I mean, I'm willing to say Vikings probably would have won that. Even Lambeau against the Saints. Packers probably win that, yeah, but the Saints were also playing really, really well. They probably win that Lions game. Like the Ravens, they don't get shut out against the Ravens, but the Ravens were also kind of turning a corner and were playing pretty well. And so there's no guarantee that the Packers win that one, even with how Hundley looked against the Steelers, and no guarantee the Packers win that one. So, I mean, I think you're kind of coming into maybe they're even, maybe the Packers a game down in this game. And even with Rodgers in and with the way the offense, you get that offense humming with Rodgers at home. This defense is just one that has been picked apart and picked apart. And the Vikings coaching with what they've done with Keenum. I mean, I was looking at Keenum, what Keenum's done the past couple games. And granted, he went up against Cincinnati. But Cincinnati, I guess, doesn't have a terrible defense. But also Marvin Lewis just announced he was leaving. So I don't know if that kind of deflated the team. But he completed 87% of his passes against the Bengals. He completed 61% against Carolina, 83% against Atlanta, 70% against Detroit. Like, he's been on a tear lately, and the Capers defense is just holes on holes on holes on holes. So, this is one where I could see, like, this game coming down to decide the division, which is what you want. You want this game in Lambeau. Maybe they're tied, like, coming into this game. I still don't know that I have a ton of faith, even with Rodgers, with the Packers pulling this out. Just with as well as that defense is playing, and as well as they have Keenum playing and that offense going, I think it'd be close. We talked about before the season who would win this division. I think we all had the Packers, but we kind of had 1A and 1B. We kind of had Packers as the number one team and then Vikings as right below them. And I think that'd be true. I think they would have been neck and neck all year. But just looking at kind of what's happened with the Packers defense, with just injuries and just blown assignments and all that stuff, and then looking at what the Vikings have done this year, it's hard. I think the Packers are still a playoff team. I just don't think they're winning this division, even with Rodgers in. It's just the Vikings have just been really, really good this year.
It's crazy to think that Case Keenum is playing at the level that he is playing at. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't even at the forefront of our minds when we were thinking about who's going to play quarterback for the Vikings this year. And he has just taken that job and just ran with it. And he has played out of his mind. And
Thielen's legit. Like, that's the thing. Thielen has turned into a top flight receiver this year. Like, Thielen's legit.
Thielen and Diggs are a great 1-2 punch in Minnesota.
Yeah. And then you get like the, McKinnon Murray, 1-2 punch at the
Rudolph. I mean,
Dalvin Cook next year.
Yeah, Cook back next year, yeah.
The Vikings are a phenomenal team, but with that being said, I am going to give the victory to Brian. He would have had my whole undivided 100% yes if you would have said what Rodgers does mean to our defense, where he allows our defense to gain more rest when he's out there on the field. He has long, sustainable drives. I mean, Hundley goes 3-and-out 90% of his drives. So, you know, it's just you know, Rodgers makes drives and our defense gets more rest. And, you know, like I said, Rodgers is such a vital part to this team, and the team knows how to play with him at quarterback, and that's proven. So I do think the Packers do win the division with a healthy Aaron Rodgers. And I do think that we are the greatest Packers podcast when it comes to our guest interviews with Brian Fonfara. And we have a perennial guest with us this week in Eric Thompson of the Daily Nordsman. It's an SB Nation blog. He's been gracious to give us his time every single time the Vikings play the Packers. And ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, Brian Fonfara and Eric Thompson. Enjoy. Back to the Future is brought to you by Handmade by Heroes, officially licensed NFL, NBA, NCAA, MLB, and NHL products, as well as golf, medical, and U.S. military branch accessories. You can even have your own design, custom made, all handmade by U.S. military veterans. Paracord bracelets, keychains, lanyards, and more, each handmade by a hero. Visit them online at handmadebyheroes.com and use promo code PACK for free shipping on your next order. Handmade by Heroes, empowering our nation's veterans.
All right, guys, I am here with Eric Thompson of the Daily Norseman. Eric, you must be on cloud nine right now, hey?
Well, yeah, step one is down. I can't believe with 2 weeks to spare that we're talking about the Vikings clinching the NFC North already and now vying for the at least a bye in the NFC playoffs and maybe even the outside chance at having the right of not having to leave Minnesota the entirety of the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I will offer you a very half-hearted congratulations on winning the division.
Well, I will take that half-hearted. Yeah, I'll enjoy it while I can since it was kind of some interesting circumstances, to say the least, this season on both ends. Yeah.
So on that note, I'm going to surprise you with a question we didn't discuss yet, but let's not get into was Anthony Barr's hit illegal or dirty or anything like that. I don't care. Let's say that it doesn't happen. Let's say he pulls up and just pushes Rodgers to the ground. His collarbone doesn't break. Do you believe that you would be celebrating a division title right now, or would you be complaining about the Packers winning another one?
I think we probably a lot would have to be decided on Saturday's game. I think that's, I mean, because regardless of how the Packers have done since Rodgers' injury, the Vikings are still 11-3, and their games haven't been any different than what the schedule has been. So they have been taking care of their end. I think the Packers would at least be hanging around in the conversation right now if Rodgers is healthy the whole season, of course. But I think they'd at the very least be competing for a division title. I don't know. I don't think either team would be celebrating it quite yet, though.
All right. Fair enough. All right, well, let's get out of the hypotheticals and into the actual football. So Sunday afternoon, you're up, 34-0, I think was the score. And to a well-deserved and thunderous applause, Teddy Bridgewater makes his official return from injury, comes in, finishes off the game. So start with how he looked there, and is he your guy going forward, or is it still Case Keenum for the rest of the year for continuity?
Of course, the sample size that you got and just kind of – it was basically garbage time. It was just the last couple drives. Mm-hmm. It wasn't great. Bridgewater threw two passes. One of them is intercepted. The other one was dropped incomplete. So, but both of them did hit the hands of the receiver. Could have been caught. But that just takes nothing away from the actual – I was actually at the game at US Bank on Sunday, and it, just the moment of being there. Six or seven games there already now. And I think that was by far the loudest I've ever heard that stadium get. Cause you saw it even on the broadcast, he had to cover up his ear holes just cause you couldn't hear anything of the actual play call coming in. Really cool moment. It was cool to see all his teammates on the sideline, and especially Case Keenum of all people. He was probably his biggest cheerleader. But as far as going forward, that it's going to be Case Keenum unless something catastrophic happens on the field, whether it's an injury or he's just absolutely playing terrible. But from what Case Keenum has shown us, it's It surprised me more than anyone. I thought as soon as Dalvin Cook went down in week four, I kind of thought, well, there goes another season for the Vikings, because I didn't think Case Keenum was going to be able to do much of, nothing even close to what he did. I thought he could maybe maintain, the Vikings could fight for maybe a wild card, but there'd probably be another 8-8, 9-7 kind of season. So to see, I even thought after the first few games of the winning streak that, you know, Keenum was playing okay and he's playing well enough, kind of that game manager role. But down the stretch here, he has played absolutely amazing. I mean, and the numbers, I don't think he was quite as near perfect as his numbers would suggest on Sunday. I think he was 20 of 23, yeah. Threw a couple touchdowns. That touchdown to Diggs was absolutely amazing. But there's still times where it's like, okay, he's not, you know, the best of the best at quarterback, but with the rest of the team that he has around him at wide receiver, the backfield by committee that the Vikings have been pulling off, and of course that defense, that I really do think that with Keenum at the helm, that the sky kind of is the limit. There's a definite possibility that the Vikings, barring another one of our usual catastrophic failures in the postseason, they have a real chance of being the first team playing a Super Bowl in their home stadium.
Yeah. Well, between Case Keenum and Jared Goff and Nick Foles now playing well last week, really shows you the power of not playing quarterback for Jeff Fisher.
It is. It's really, I know, just play terribly for him for a couple seasons. I think that's why the Browns should hire him now. Just to have Deshaun Kizer play for him, then go to another team and play, be amazing.
Perfect. Perfect. All right. So you've won the division. You mentioned you're still in the mix for home field advantage. How seriously do you guys need this game for you to host through the playoffs?
Well, for hosting through the playoffs, that's actually to get the number one seed. That loss in Carolina really kind of almost finalized it for the Eagles. The Eagles would have to lose out, which isn't out of the realm of possibility since they let the Giants hang around so long last week. The Eagles would have to lose out while the Vikings win both games. Okay. So if the Vikings happen to lose on Saturday, the first seed is out the window, just because now the Eagles have, you know, they have the one game lead and they have the tiebreaker now, because it'll come down to common opponents. The Eagles went undefeated and the Vikings had the loss to the Panthers. Okay. So, but I think the main focus is getting that first round bye at the very least, mm-hmm. Statistically, I think there hasn't been a team that's made the Super Bowl since 2012 that didn't have the bye after we had that kind of run in the mid-2000s of a lot of wild card teams making the Super Bowl. So it is definitely important. And the Vikings are sitting pretty good for that. Even if they win one of their next two games, whether it be against the Packers and a game that I really don't see them losing at home on New Year's Eve against the Bears, the only situation, if they finish 12-4, where they don't get the second seed, is if Carolina wins out and wins the NFC South.
Okay.
Because they have the tiebreakers over the Rams and the Saints, who, of course, they've already beaten this season. So they're sitting in pretty good shape. I mean, if I had to guess right now, I tweeted out there was a probability. They have something like an 80% chance of getting that second seed. So I would probably say that's probably what they're going to have to do. And again, though, with the Eagles losing Carson Wentz, which, of course, as I'm a North Dakota State alumnus, so that kind of that was as much as it probably benefited the Vikings' postseason chances, it was tough for me to see. Yeah. There's a very good chance with the stacked as the NFC playoff picture is going to be this season, that there's a very good chance that even if the Vikings don't get the number one seed, they could still be playing that NFC championship at home.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks to look at this playoff picture and think, all right, the Eagles are in and oh, but there's no Carson Wentz. And man,
mm-hmm.
And then you look, you know, anybody can admit, you can be a Vikings fan and admit that NFL playoffs are better when Aaron Rodgers is in them. They're just more entertaining. So it's going to be a weird year for the playoffs. And then of course the AFC just sucks again. So nobody wants to watch that bracket.
Those Saturday wild card games, whatever that's going to be, you know, it's going to be, yeah. And of course, yeah, the AFC, it looks like it's going to be either the Steelers or the Patriots, or maybe if Blake Bortles can keep playing not terribly, the Jacksonville defense could pull them in there. But yeah, it seems the NFC just top to bottom, the 1 through 6 seed, I think they're all going to have a really solid chance.
Yep. One last really quick question. How big was your sigh of relief when you saw Aaron Rodgers was put on injured reserve?
Well, it was, I'll admit that it makes the game a much easier proposition for the Vikings to win, especially when they have that number two seed to play for. Mm-hmm. I had kind of a dream scenario in my head where the Packers were still hanging around and the Vikings kind of just finished the season themselves. But apparently they did that earlier in the season already. So it would have been nice just to kind of have an exclamation point on it with Rodgers back and say, okay, you know, now the Vikings definitely earned it. Practically speaking, it's much better to be facing Brett Hundley on Saturday. We all know that. And so it'll be interesting to see exactly, you know, who else might have all sorts of maladies that might sit out on the Packers side of things now. But again, it's at Lambeau. It's always a tough place to play. It's going to be freezing cold there, the way it sounds. And when the crowd is nice and lubed up there in Wisconsin, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty of vitriol for number 55 when he takes the field. So yes, it should still be a really interesting game, a fun game to watch. But yeah, I mean, of course, without 12 out there, it makes it a lot easier for the Vikings.
Yep. All right. So go ahead and tell me how you think this Sunday's going to go down, and throw me a final score prediction.
Well, I haven't. I've just started kind of doing my preliminary film research here, but I mean, again, without Rodgers, and well, can I ask you a quick question? So we haven't talked about it. Every Packers fan I have talked to is not huge on Dom Capers right now.
Let's putting it mildly.
Give me a quick 2 cents on him. Okay, all right.
He's public enemy number one here. We'll put it that way.
Okay. Well, and from everything that I've seen from the Packers, I wholeheartedly agree. If I was a Packers fan, that would be driving me nuts. I mean, there's still some holes in that personnel on the defense, but just it seems like they're playing a lot of people out of position and just out of scheme that would fit better for the Packers. So
exactly.
I think the weather might help just kind of be an equalizer, but the way that the Vikings have been playing these last 10 games, even that Panthers game when everything seemed to go wrong and they still had a chance to win it at the end. As long as they can execute on offense and just with what we've seen from Brett Hundley on against a defense as good as the Vikings, I think it's going to be hard for the Packers to score a lot of points. Right now, I would say, again, just with the weather, maybe a little lower scoring, maybe something around the lines of, you know, 24-13 Vikings. But that's subject to change if I see a couple things in my film review, so I might not do that exact prediction when I have my article post on Thursday morning, but somewhere around there, I think.
You know, I would almost 100% agree with that score prediction, weirdly, if the game was in Minnesota, because that's where Brett Hundley does more of his good work, is on the road compared to at Lambeau. I'm not convinced that against this defense with stakes as high as they are, that Brett Hundley can even put up 13 points at Lambeau. So I'm going to go a little bit lower. I'm going to say it's probably going to be, I'm going to say 23-10. So still pretty close, but I'm going to say 23-10. Vikings will win it. So
we're close. I hope we're both correct, and that'll put the Vikings in really good shape for that first round bye. And there is a chance, even if now, if the Vikings win on Saturday, and I believe if Tampa somehow beats Carolina, I think it's at Tampa, so maybe there's a chance there, that they could maybe rest some guys, maybe get Teddy Bridgewater some more playing time just to have him ready for the playoffs. But first things first, got to win at Lambeau.
There you go. All right, Eric, go ahead and take an opportunity to tell the people where they can find you and what you do over at the Daily Norseman.
Yep, you can find all my work at dailynorseman.com. That is the SB Nation site for the Vikings. Been at it now for, gosh, going on almost 9 years. Can't believe it's been that long. And, of course, my usual silly football and Vikings musings. You can find me on Twitter at Eric_J_Thompson.
Believe it or not, despite the fact that he is a Vikings fan, he's actually a pretty good follow, so go ahead and throw him one. All right, Eric, thank you so much for joining, man.
All right, thanks for having me on.
And we're back after a stupendous interview by Brian Bonvera, kicking off our coverage of
Gold.
Thanks, Jabroni. We are going to be kicking it off with Three Keys to Victory with Jordan Beck. Enjoy.
Thank you, John. Fantastic introduction. All right, guys. Vikings, we're out of the playoffs. I'm not going to lie. I didn't put full effort into this.
Pop three of the tires on the Vikings team bus.
Yes.
I did it for you.
One, two, three. That's right. All right, this is the first thing I want to see this week, guys. Is it possible that we can get Aaron Jones at least 5 carries this week? Do we think that's possible?
That's pushing it.
Does he have to average at least 25 yards a carry for him to get that 5th carry?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Body of work, man. Body of work.
In all honesty, I understand that Aaron Jones' pass protection is hot garbage. But this guy is a dynamic weapon, and it was very frustrating to not see him, I don't believe, get one carry in the second half of last week's game. It's unbelievable to me. Three. Absolutely unbelievable. Just every time he touched the ball, I think I tweeted about it. I don't remember exactly when in the game it was, but Jamal Williams had a nice 8-yard run on first down, made a nice second and 2. I'm telling you, if Aaron Jones is the running back for that play, it could be a touchdown. It could absolutely have been a touchdown. I just watching the replays and seeing where the secondary was, he at least busted for a 20-30 yard gain. I mean, the dude's speed is unbelievable. He needs to be more involved in this offense, and he needs to start this week. Number two, let's. I'd rather not have Clay calling out the opposing team's routes. I'd rather that not happen, because the last thing I want to see when we play the Vikings is Case Keenum just. Telling Clay Matthews, hey, watch this, and then throw a slant pattern to Jerick McKinnon for a touchdown. I'd turn the game off at that point if that happened. So that's key number two. And then the third, guys, it's Brett Hundley at quarterback. I'll say this. I want to see some gadgets. I want to see them do some things they hardly ever do. I want to see the Jeff sweep this week. I want to see Randall Cobb throw a pass. I want to see some weird things this week. That's what I'd like to see against the Vikings at home. Entertain the home crowd.
Prepare to be disappointed.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm actually fully expecting to punt from inside our 40 this week. So that is what I'm expecting. But that's what I like to see. I like them open up the playbook a little bit, make up plays on the fly. Let Hundley have some fun this week. So that's what I like to see. Those are our three keys to knocking off the Vikings this week.
Does opening up the playbook result in a Packers win, Jordan?
No, it does not. I'm going to go Vikings 24, Packers 16.
All right.
Too many guys out, including QB12. I don't see the Packers. The Vikings still have a lot to play for. QB12? So
not playing Packers this week.
I forgot what I was saying. What was I talking about? legitimately forgot what I was saying.
Too many guys missing.
A lot of injuries. That's right. A lot of injuries for the Packers. Yes. Injuries, blah, blah, blah. I don't think the Packers have it. 24-16 Vikings this week.
Your effort is phenomenal this episode, Jordan, and we appreciate it. Dusty, by the numbers.
Yeah, all right. So I dug into this a little bit, probably not too much, but hey, man, listen, I'm here to do a job. So I went, Vikings defense, looking at Football Outsiders DVOA, 4th-ranked defense in the league this year. Like, we talked about it already. Like, they're good. Like, they are a good defense, or a complete defense. It's one thing Zimmer's always done well. You know, I to go on a little something I've been thinking about. It's odd to me when you have a coach who is like a defensive-minded or offensive-minded guy that then goes into a head coaching role only to find that side of the ball suffer. Not Zimmer. Like, Zimmer's complete, and he's carried over like a lot of that defensive stuff with him. That defense has always been good, and now the offense is good. Like, guys, that hot take, Mike Zimmer, actually a good coach. A good coach. Mm-hmm. So they got the 4th-ranked defense this year. The Packers, and this is bolstered a little bit. I did not get a chance to look, or I don't have the access, I guess, to look to see what they were with Hundley. But the Packers' offense is 12th this year. I have to imagine it's quite a bit worse with Hundley. So we'll say, like, middle of the pack. Say 16th, 17th-ranked offense going up against a 4th-ranked defense. And we've seen, I mean, Hundley's prone to interceptions. Like, it's not going to be great. It's that offense against that defense is going to be rough. And flipping over the other side, Vikings offense, Pro Football Outsiders DVOA, 7th in the league right now. And we mentioned, I mean, some of those weapons. They got Thielen. They've got Diggs. Rudolph is good. Keenum's been playing well. McKinnon and Murray back there. I mean, that's a good offense. They're humming right now. Even without Bradford, even without Bridgewater, that offense is doing really, really well. They got some really good pieces on there. And the Packers defense is 19th. And that seems better than I would have expected. Like, you basically have the Vikings are better than the Packers across the board, and some of those numbers on offense are bolstered based on the fact that Rodgers was in for like half the season. So it doesn't look great based on that. So I looked over to see what the Packers could do well here, and Jordan, you mentioned Aaron Jones, and that's something I'd love to see. I mean, I thought Williams has been very, very good when he's in, but Jones is kind of a different weapon. I looked at kind of where the Vikings are weak on rush defense. When people rush right guard at the Vikings, so kind of, you know, up the middle there, up right guard, that's behind Jarry Evans, if you're looking at the Packers side, they average 4.4 yards per carry, which I believe is their worst zone. The Packers actually average 5.6 yards per carry behind right guard. So if you're looking for a spot for the Packers to do well, I figure they're going to lean on the running game a little bit anyway.
Good joke, Dusty.
Yeah, thanks. I think that's where they're going to go. They're going to target right guard. So, like either that or Hundley's going to throw 60 passes in an attempt to confuse the defense, which will not go well.
Much but more likely.
Look at him to run right guard. And then my last thing I'm kind of looking at was kind of what the Vikings have done lately. Over the last six games, here's the point totals the Vikings have given up over the past six. 37, 23, 9. 31-7. So what that tells me is they alternate. They give up a single-digit score, and then they do poorly the next week. And listen, gave up 7 points to the Bengals that week. What does that mean? That means this week the Packers are putting up numbers, boys, because that's just what has happened over the past 6 weeks. And I refuse to believe this is any kind of statistical noise. This is a pattern for a reason. I do not actually believe this, but that's what I'm going with. Even with that being said, guys, I have to go Vikings. I do think the Packers, like you said, Jordan, I think they're going to try some other stuff. I think they're going to break out some stuff in the playbook. You may even see something on special teams, like a little, you know, fake handoff end around or something like that. They're gonna maybe get Janis, maybe get Davis involved, just basically have someone run deep and chuck it. Because Hundley has zero touch on a deep ball, but maybe you get a defensive pass interference call. I do think they're going to try some stuff this week just because why not? So I think they're going to put up some points. I mean, the Vikings are just better just on both sides of the ball, and the Vikings are still playing for something. So I'm going to have to go Vikings. I'm going to say 31-24. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be kind of like the Steelers game. I think the Packers are going to shock some people out of the gate. I think they're going to put up some points. I think they're going to do some stuff. Ultimately, the Vikings are the better team right now, and I think the Vikings are just going to walk out with a win. So, yeah, 31-24 Vikings.
Brian, anything you want to add that you did not say in the guest interview?
Not really, man. I'll just reiterate that, Dusty, I would love it if you were right and we put up that many points, but this is Brett Hundley at Lambeau. If this was Brett Hundley in Minnesota, I'd say 24 points is likely. But, man, I still don't understand how he's been so decent on the road and so bad at home. But whatever. We'll leave that up to smarter minds than mine. I see this defense giving up a lot of yards and a pretty solid chunk amount of points as well. So, yeah, I don't see it going particularly well for the Packers this week.
And I share those same sentiments, Brian. It's very, very unfortunate and disheartening to say that the Vikings are going to beat the Packers on Sunday. But it's almost inevitable at this point. With the way that Hundley plays at Lambeau, with Aaron not playing, possibly Devontae's out as well, offense is going to have a rough go at it. And the Vikings are just rolling right now. And they're going to double us in score. The final score is going to be 34-17. Minnesota Vikings coming to Lambeau and just embarrassing the crap out of us. Very, 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 very sad to say that. But I'm hoping for a brighter future. And, you know,
It's time to get those that train rolling. So Brian, start us off with our final thoughts.
All right, I've got a few here. One, Pack to the Future is looking for draft writers. Look, the playoff chances may be over and the season may be almost over, but just remember that there is no off season. Because it is starting on, what would that be? New Year's Day, right? That's the first day of the off season. It's draft season after that. So we're looking for writers. Next, in a day and age where Packer fans are calling out for coaches to be fired left and right, I have to officially call for Jason Kidd's job, head coach of the Bucks. And the final straw here was, so the Bucks are up by two. Chris Middleton is fouled. He goes to the line. This is with 1.9 seconds left. He makes the first free throw. They're up by three. Jason Kidd tells a 90% free throw shooter to purposely miss. Because, listen to the reason, because he was afraid that somebody would inbound it, shoot a full court shot, and be fouled, and it would be a 4-point play and tie the game. He found that to be more realistic than somebody just getting a rebound and heaving up a shot and making it. Like, he found it more realistic that somebody makes a full court shot while being fouled.
Oh my gosh.
Like, whatever screw was still there in his head, it is now loose. He's just got nothing left. And that was after – that was a nerve-wracking win after they had led by 20-plus points in the fourth quarter. 19-0 run. They were all of a sudden 5 minutes later with LeBron James on the bench down by two. Just – the guy's got to go. Okay. Next, the Pro Bowl rosters were announced today, and David Bakhtiari is an alternate. David Bakhtiari, quite possibly the best left tackle in the NFL. You could absolutely make that argument, and he's an alternate. That is criminal. Davante Adams as well. That one I'll even give a little bit more of a pass just because how many good wide receivers there are, but dude, Bakhtiari, dude needs to be starting. It's just criminal that he's not in there. Lastly, no, I have two more. Sorry. One, the Rams are really, really, really good. And if you are a regular listener of the show, you would have heard the interview that John and I did with Jonathan Franklin, former Packer, currently works for the Rams. And this was preseason, and he was ranting and raving about how good the Rams were going to be, how good Jared Goff was going to be. And John and I both on that call are kind of like, you kind of have to say that, but you know, we know really that they're not going to be good, but he was right. And I have to give him credit. And so last thing, there's two games left in this season. They don't necessarily mean anything. So just try to enjoy them, watch them with friends and family, so you don't get too depressed. Keep an eye on young guys like Michael Clark, a wide receiver, is probably going to get some playing time, and he's like 6'7", so that should be fun to watch. Our boy Lindsey Pipkins will probably get playing time. Josh Jones will get playing time. Just watch these young players and just try to enjoy it. That's really all I've got for you. So that's the end of my final thoughts. You can find me on Twitter at @PTTF_Brian and the podcast at @PTTF_podcast.
There was a time and a place for Jason Kidd to coach the Milwaukee Bucks, and that time and a place is done.
It is gone.
It is done. So I completely agree with you. And Dusty Easley, your final thoughts?
Yeah, I've got I think three, maybe four. I'm gonna see how I feel when I get past three. so we're looking at cheapest tickets, and guys, as you might expect, as we're getting down to the end of the year, and more teams are eliminated. The tickets are just, we're in the single digit territory, and I don't think we're leaving. So cheapest ticket this week, I think it's been $4 the past couple weeks. This week we got $5, and we have new contenders. These are not repeat teams. I think it's been Indy like two of the last three. We've got the Denver Broncos rolling into Washington to play the Skins for $5. Now listen, both those teams are terrible. like, beyond both those teams are terrible, they're not overly fun to watch. Now, I will grant you that maybe the Redskins offense is okay at times, but I'll also grant you that Kirk Cousins will always make terrible, terrible mistakes, which is also fun to watch, which is cool. And but then you also get, I believe Paxton Lynch is going to be starting. They want to see what they've got in Paxton Lynch in Denver, who is not good. Like, his facial hair is fine, but he's not good. And also, like, the stadium in Washington, which I've not been to. I've just heard just nothing but horror stories. Probably not the best, and I believe parking's terrible. But hey, man, listen, $5 for an NFL game, it's hard to beat that. So if you're in that area, you know, go pay $5. Go see the Broncos roll into Washington. For all, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong, because every now and then it happens. And maybe Paxton Lynch turns into a franchise quarterback, and maybe this is the week that turns around. And maybe for $5, you could be there for the week Paxton Lynch becomes the man, which will not happen. But if it does, you could be there for super, super cheap. Second final thought. All right, man. So I was trying to time this out, and then I realized that I totally miscounted a week, so whatever. Doing spooky movies, and I was doing Christmas movies for the month of December. And I've got two, because I need to throw two in here, and they're somewhat related. So one of them is Rare Exports, and it's kind of a little or known movie. It's from 2010. It's a Finnish movie, and it essentially is a story of a young child named Petri, I believe, who finds that all of his friends have been stolen and replaced with wooden creepy dolls with weird hay hair. And the reason is because maybe Santa is coming in and sticking them in a bag and stealing them. So he's been free. You understand? Because a guy has, you know, taken Santa from a mountain, an ice mountain, and he's tall and he has horns and he's been stealing children, I guess. So you basically have then this, it's this kid then trying to tell his dad, who's a widower, hey, man, listen, Santa's coming, and he's taking my friends, and blah, 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 blah. And it's just this creepy old dude, lurking around stealing children. And then, you know, you kind of get into the Santa stuff, and is it kind of a Krampus thing? Are the old people elves? It's kind of odd, and it's dark, but it's ridiculously funny, and it's really, really well done. If you're looking for kind of a different, I think it clocks in like around an hour and 20 minutes. If you're looking for kind of a different, kind of creepy, and it's finished, so some of the, you know, the our Hollywood sensibilities, it's a different kind of movie than you're used to watching, but it's really well done. It's one that I watch every single year. If you have the DVD or if you buy it on VOD, you can see the original shorts that inspired it, and the original shorts are these documentaries of just these men running through the forest hunting people in Santa costumes, and it's just amazingly done. So yeah, Rare Exports is a yearly watch for me. It's tremendous. Huge, huge fan. The second one that's kind of related, just because it's a dark Santa-ish movie, I'm going to go Krampus from a couple years back. I was really, really looking forward to this movie. Directed by Mike Dougherty, who did Trick or Treat. And Trick or Treat's one I've talked about here on before. It's a dark, dark Christmas movie. It's got some really cool people on it. Adam Scott, Toni Collette, David Koechner, Alison Tolman are like the main four. But it kind of focuses on the children and, you know, Krampus comes and, you know, just wreaks havoc on this family, and it's super snowy. All the effects are practical effects. It's funny. It's got a really kind of dark sense of humor that is bordering on mean-spirited at times. I know some people didn't like the ending. I love the ending. It's really well done. It looks incredible. The cast is great. So if you're looking for like a double feature for, you know, around this time, go Rare Exports and Krampus, man. You get some dark Santa stuff working in there. Big, big fan of those two. So that's my second one. My third one, we kind of talked about the pre-show. This is probably going to be my last show of the season. I'm at least going to miss next week. I've talked about it in here before, but my second kid is on the way. My second child is due next Thursday.
Woo-woo!
So, yeah, we're excited. Real talk, boys.
Get
also also terrified.
The kid's not even born yet, and you're prioritizing it over us. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the day. So we're talking about recording this show the day before my wife is due. So yeah, I'm probably not going to make it. I'm going to go ahead and say
maybe pre-record your parts and we'll just splice them in.
That's a good point. Yeah, I'll make some Stafford jokes and it'll be like 5 minutes of Stafford jokes. And I'll just
I love
cut
it.
Out and it'll cut out and be fine.
Do you have any like, hey, I just had another child being born.
traditions that you do? Like, do you like smoke a cigar? Do you have a glass of whiskey?
Probably going to have many glasses of whiskey, John. No, I don't know. You know, I know the thing about the first kid. You know, I never actually smoked a cigar because the It's a Boy. Spoiler alert, guys. The It's a Boy, It's a Girl cigars are terrible. Like, buy an actual good cigar if you're going to do that. So, yeah, it's we're kind of a little terrified. We've got our little two-and-a-half-year-old daughter who's just amazing and lovely and wonderful. But she's also quite demanding at times because she's 2 years old. So having another baby, we're kind of a little scared. But we're also super, super hyped. You know, it's been, I'd say, a long time coming, roughly 9 months. So we're excited. Part of me was terrified this was going to come during a Packers playoff run, and I was going to maybe miss this next week's game, or the next, if it came down to week 17, like I might miss that game. So part of me was terrified the Packers still going to be in it, and I was going to miss that game. But now I don't have to, you know, now I'm in the clear for that. So that's fine. There you go. I'm going to be sad to miss this. I'm going to have to cut down some of my writing over the next couple weeks as well. But sad to miss it, but I'm excited to meet the little guy. So, yeah, you guys, I believe in you guys to carry on without me.
Thank you.
But, yeah, you can find me at Dusty Evely, and then most of my football stuff, the gifts and stuff, is all at All22 Talk.
And guys, Jordan, you're final.
Guys, hang on. I have to interrupt with one more final thought because I was just looking at Twitter and former – Milwaukee Bucks forward Charlie Villanueva. His house was burgled. Okay. Hmm. They stole his toilet.
Oh my God. They
broke into the home of an NBA player and stole his toilet.
He had a 24 karat gold toilet, didn't he?
I'm sure he did. But seriously, someone just up and stole somebody's toilet.
Toilets are expensive, dude. Like, I would steal someone's toilet.
That's messed up.
He got that 90 mil 3-year deal in Milwaukee. And
he got paid in Detroit. He went to Detroit and got paid as well. That dude's got some money.
He's got money. But,
but he doesn't have a toilet.
Awesome.
The best part of this is SB Nation has tweeted out saying, if you stole Charlie Villanueva's toilet, please give it back.
Did you just miss Bike or Charlie Villanueva's toilet?
This story wins, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
He should have locked up his toilet, man.
Jordan, do you have final thoughts?
I do. Dusty, I think you said before the podcast that nobody really cares about your fantasy team.
Sure.
That being said, I need to tell you about my latest plight in my fantasy football house of horrors. Guys, I went into last night a long shot. I'll grant you that. I was down 38 or so points going into last night. I had Devontae Freeman and Matt Bryant. Devontae Freeman did well last night. Got me about 30 points. Matt Bryant got me 8 points. Guys, I ended up losing my fantasy matchup by 0.44 points.
No.
I just needed 5 rush yards. I needed a catch. I needed Matt Bryant's 32-yard field goal night to not get blocked in the fourth quarter. It's just I would have preferred he lost 3 fumbles and got benched in the first quarter than this to happen. It's brutal. So now I will not be, unfortunately, not going to be in either of my fantasy football championships this year. So I've lost. I'm going to be losing my trophy in our league, Brian and John. I'm not happy about that. Definitely not happy about paying the shipping cost to send it back to Wisconsin. I'll have to deal with that in a little bit. But yeah, so not a great night last night. My one chance, I will say, I was watching the game with great interest, obviously. If Tampa would have kicked that 54-yard field goal to tie it and say Atlanta gets the ball back, I most definitely would have won that game. The field goal goes wide right. So with my fantasy football dreams, the Packer playoff dreams.
Oh no.
That I went to bed right after that.
Yes. And your performance in FIFA last night too was just
okay. Well, listen, John.
So bad.
I'll admit I was not good in the final third. Could not get the ball in the net. It was unfortunate. But I thought my position was good. It wasn't my night. Wasn't my night.
It's all about finishing, man.
That's right. So that was actually my second final thought talking about FIFA. So thank you, John, for the lead-in.
You're welcome.
And my my third and final thought. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah. Works. No, you're good.
It's kind of repetitive. And I keep talking about it, so it's easier to repetitive. But just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. We haven't talked about it too much this show, but our next podcast will be after Christmas has happened. So Merry Christmas to all the Pack to the Future listeners.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Guys, this is my solo. Stop. This is my solo.
Oh. Beautiful, guys.
Wait, are we still recording?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. That's on
we are unfortunately still on the air.
Little Jesus boy. we're done singing, I guess. Jordan, are you done with your final thoughts?
Those are my three and final thoughts.
And go ahead with your Twitter name.
Love it.
Just so we can
You guys can find me on Twitter at JGPeck41.
Have you gotten any follows after an episode, Jordan?
I don't really pay attention that much. How many followers? Do I have more followers than you, John? That's the question.
I'm at
318.
Oh, yeah, you're nearly
done. 318? I'm looking at you.
No, you're pretty much doubled.
You have 160.
John only has 164 followers. Guys.
Go ahead and give me a follow, guys.
Just because he only tweets once every 6 months?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I love if you follow backs. Your hashtag follow back. I'll follow back every time.
I'll vouch for that because he has 164 followers and he is following 159 people. So that's probably a pretty solid follow back rate.
It is a very solid follow back rate. I always follow through with follow back. And my final thoughts, gentlemen, Giovanni Gallardo, welcome back to Milwaukee. Number one, it's good to have you back. I know that you've had a couple down years, but you're going to find yourself back in Milwaukee. And you're going to find your groove again. And the Brewers are going to the playoffs this year. So welcome back, Giovanni. And my second and last final thought is going to be a little bit of a rant. So brace yourselves. I'm sick to my stomach about what has happened to Davante Adams. I'm sick to my stomach seeing him take another shot to the head when there's absolutely no reason for him to be taking these shots. And it's gotten me so sick to a point that I want to see the penalties just go off the charts, bonkers, in favor of the person that got injured. How far, you ask? Great question. I'm going to tell you. I want to see a scenario put in place where if you knock a player out by a dirty, illegal hit, guess what? That person's out 4 weeks. You're sitting your butt on the bench for 4 weeks. He gets out the rest of that game. You're out the rest of that game. I am so sick of these players being able to play after they deliver a dirty, nonsensical hit to a guy that's just on the field, you know, just going following instincts, and all of a sudden you decide that you're going to step it up a notch and just take this guy completely out of the game. It is so uncalled for and unnecessary in this game. We already know it's a violent game and that a player can get injured and his career could end in a second. But don't let it be because of you delivering a shot that is just completely uncalled for. Thomas Davis, you know better. You are a veteran. And the fact that you come out and say, I wasn't trying to do anything. No, you were. You put your head right into Devontae's skull. Like, get the frick out of here, dude. So, NFL, please look into this and make these hits go away. Maybe I'm being a little bit too harsh, but you know what? Maybe I'm not. But all I know is that the Packers are going to see brighter days ahead. We're going to see brighter days ahead. Like Brian said, do not stop watching this team. Watch it with your loved ones. Watch it with your friends. Have a good time. Have some good eats. Have a great beverage of your choosing. And just enjoy the Packers playing football on Sundays. Because you know what? In 2 weeks, we don't have that anymore. And we have to wait a very, very, very long time for that. So without further ado, watch the final games. Enjoy them. Enjoy us as we keep talking about it. Because we ain't going anywhere. We got the spot open for a draft writer. hit us up. You want to work with us. You already know that. We are a Fortune 500 company in the making. I just checked Milwaukee Business Local, and we are ranked in the top 20. Check us out. We are Back to the Future. Learn about us. Follow us. Join us. Join now while the getting's good. Ladies and gentlemen, peace out. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Bada bing, bada boom. Back to the Future. Brought to you by Handmade by Heroes. Love them too. Get some presents. Bye.